David Hecker is the president of the American Federation of Teachers, the Michigan branch of that. David, how are you?
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
Appreciate you being here. Well, recently some nasty test scores came out when it came to many school districts in the state of Michigan. And of course, I want to get your take on that.
Well, two lists came out, as you're saying. One really according to federal standards, one according to state standards. But the bottom line, whichever list you look at, there are schools which, as we all know, are not doing the kind of job that we need them to do. There are schools that we perhaps wouldn't send our own kids to, and that's totally unacceptable. So the real question that comes out of this is what kind of targeted assistance will the state be providing those schools? And how is the state going to provide that assistance when it cut $1 billion from the K-12 budget? Because the idea is helping these schools do better.
Are these poor test scores due to the fact of money? If there was more funding, would these test scores be better?
I've always said money is not the only issue at all. But the bottom line is if you have smaller class size, it's easier for students to learn. If you have a comprehensive mentoring program for new teachers, they're going to do better. If you have new textbooks and technology, it's going to be better for the students. If you have a strong infrastructure of schools, so every school has the facilities and looks like Okemos High School, for example, students are going to learn better. It is by no means just about money, but you need the funds to do those things I just mentioned that we know work to improve education. And the state just decided to cut $1 billion from our children's education and give that money to corporations.
All right. We've had these challenges for years, it seems, especially in school districts like the Detroit Public Schools. What are we going to do to fix this? I mean, we keep hearing from one group, it's this group's fault. I think if I've learned anything from people like you, David, we got to change the culture of the parents and how they lead their kids through the education process. We need to get them involved more with the local school that they have children in. We've got to make sure that all our teachers are on the same page and get rid of the bad teachers. We've got to get the administrators monitoring this situation more. Of course, you say mm-hmm. we need more funding. We've been talking about this for years. What needs to specifically be done so we can see an upturn in this?
Well, no, first of all, you're absolutely right that the finger pointing should stop. Because we're all in this together, and it takes the, not to use a cliche, but it does take the entire community working together to improve education. So for one, we need to make education a priority, not just on the campaign trail, where it's a priority for everybody, but in reality after people get elected. We have to stop criticizing and bashing the teaching profession, the people who educate our children. We have to provide smaller class sizes. We have to provide comprehensive mentoring for new teachers. We have to make sure every student has up-to-date textbooks and supplies, which is not a given in all too many schools. We have to make sure the technology is in place. We have to make sure teachers and staff have proper professional development. We need to treat our school employees with respect. We need strong parental involvement. We need community and business involvement. You know, a long time ago, looking at it on my wall here, here in Detroit, we put out a program suggesting that businesses give parents time off to get involved in their child's school because we know how important that is. There's something else we need that is beyond the four walls of the school, and that is we need a comprehensive jobs program in this country because there is no question. While all children can learn, all children learn from various economic backgrounds. There, you take a look at that list, and you link that list of schools with the economic standing of the community, and there's a direct relationship.
David, Mike from Livonia is on the other end of our line. He's got a question. Mike, good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
as a parent, my wife and I have been on both sides of the public and private school systems and are with our children. And I've listened to this debate my entire adult life as far as class sizes and funding and access. And, you know, I just had a conversation with my kids that they're competing with kids from India and China and Indonesia and Korea that don't have near the resources that your guest is talking about, even at the levels that we're at now where he seems to feel it's, we're underfunding. Yet those countries are outproducing us as far as the results of their students without all the supposed necessities that are being described. And I find that kind of interesting, that maybe we need to go to these other countries and find out what they're doing in their education systems with larger class sizes, not as much access to technology as we have, but yet we're like way down the list and they're beating us up pretty good.
David, you want to respond to that?
Well, one, there are other countries doing far better than our country. I disagree in the statement that those countries don't have the resources for the children in their education system that we do. If we want to take a look at, I would love to compare the United States system of education and how we treat education with countries like Finland, which is rated number one, Singapore, which is rated very, very high. And you will see in those countries that the parents are treated with respect, with the teachers and staff are treated with respect. You have strong parental involvement. The students have the supplies and resources they need. There's manageable class sizes. And again, I want to get back to the first point because it's very important. In those countries, teachers are held up to the level and are considered like we consider doctors in this country. There is that much respect. And we don't have that in this country. And that is a major, major issue.
I would have to disagree with you on that. From my perspective, at least, I have a lot of respect, especially for my teachers' kids. I see how hard they work and see what they do. I think that this is a bigger problem than respect for the teachers. I think it's almost a cultural thing where we have to get down and make sure that the people who are having kids really know what's involved when it comes to the education process, how to help their kids through that and make sure they stay on top of them so they can get the best education possible.
Well, 2 points. I agree with you, Tony, that you and parents like you have great respect for their kids' teachers. What I meant, and I should have clarified, is the policymakers and elected officials who make the decisions about how schools are run, how schools are funded, what kind of education our kids are going to get. Those people, you see teacher bashing all the time. You see, you know, a movie like Waiting for Superman that came out last year, which is, you know, bashing teachers. So what I meant were the policymakers. If you poll parents like yourself, who know the teachers and know what they do for their kids, there's a great deal of respect. But on the policy level, there is not that great deal of respect.
All right, David, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just want to add on the last point you said, parental involvement is extremely important, but we need an economic jobs program in this country. If somebody is working two jobs to make ends meet, they're not going to be there for their child. If someone isn't able to get the education they need to help their child, they're not going to be able to help them. We have virtually eliminated adult education in this state. Well, how about the parents who need that education so they can help their kids the way they want to?
David, I got to disagree with you again. I watched Waiting for Superman actually twice, and I didn't think it was an indictment on teachers. I thought it was an indictment on bad teachers and how challenging it can be to get rid of them. And one of the aspects of that documentary, which I found very compelling, was the fact that teachers in Washington, D.C. were offered the opportunity to double their salary, and they turned that opportunity down. I was shocked by that.
You know, I don't want to talk too much about Waiting for Superman, except for the point that Waiting for Superman highlighted teachers who absolutely should have been fired. Waiting for Superman did not talk about any successful public schools. Waiting for Superman did not note that the overwhelming percentage of teachers are doing a good and excellent job in the classroom. Waiting for Superman, as too many policymakers do, highlight the teachers over here, the teachers over there who shouldn't be in that profession. Rather than talk, and we have to deal with those, and we've advocated comprehensive evaluation systems. If they don't step up to the plate and do the job needed, they shouldn't be teaching. Absolutely. But how about the 98% of teachers who are doing a fine job and who really do a great deal for our kids? That movie didn't talk about those kids. That movie was an indictment of public education. And if you take a look at who funded the movie, you will see a link there.
All right, Dave. Fascinating conversation. I can't wait to talk with you again. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Tony. Great to be on.